This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Next Level. I'm JVL, here with my best friends, Sarah Longwell and Tim Miller of The Bulwark. Guys, this was the week it all happened. Jim Cramer dropped the bombshell, the big one. We have payments from Hunter Biden to Joe Biden. This is it. This is it. This is the moment that Everett Fox and all the people have been waiting for. And what we have is Joe Biden, as a private citizen, loaned his kid money to buy a Ford F-150 Raptor. And then his kid, again, this is when they were both private citizens, paid him back with 3 payments of $1,380.
Three payments
of $1,380.
Wait, it was only a $3,000 truck?
No, the Raptor is a very expensive truck, but I think the big guy, you know, that's what they call him. I think the big guy only loaned him a small amount of money to buy the truck.
Like a down payment or something?
Something, I don't know. But the point is, look, don't get to, just because this is in 2018 and Joe Biden wasn't president, don't let, and that we're only talking about, you know, $1,300, don't let that distract you from the real story here about the Biden crime family.
Well, wow. It's Chinese money, though. You didn't consider that.
Oh,
it's Chinese probably. Money. And the Chinese are in there somehow. And you also had to, cannot forget my favorite exchange for Jim Cramer when he's on, I think, Newsmax this week. When Guy was out there, he was going, you know, you can't underestimate that you do benefit when you loan somebody money and they pay you back.
Yeah.
It's like, you do? You benefit from that? Yeah, we've got the emails here. I just had to pull this up. Of the bills, Hunter's monthly bills. You'll be surprised to find out that Hunter wasn't really doing a great job managing his money. He could have used Mint. I don't know. That's we don't have an advertising.
Don't say that unless they pay us.
Yeah, but Mint, if you're out there, or a competitor to Mint, he could use it. He's got a kid in Sidwell, a kid in UPenn. I guess good dad paying health insurance out of pocket. Expensive AT&T bill. He's in the Yale Club and the 116 Club still. Might want to cut one of those out. That's $368 a month. A lot of money on candles. But there it is. Reimbursement to JRB. They don't call him the big guy. Note it here in the email. They call him reimbursement to JRB, $1,380. It's pretty embarrassing. Aaron Rupar did a tweet that I thought was really on the nose on this. It's frankly pretty remarkable that the chair of the Oversight Committee regularly blasts out press releases saying new evidence of impeachable offenses, and they don't even make the news because everybody knows he's an unserious, dim liar who's full of BS.
Or because it's a deep state media conspiracy.
Maybe. And I guess here we are talking about it. So, Jim, good news. You know, you made it onto Newsmax and OAN and here on the Bulwark podcast, Next Level podcast. I've got a lot to say about this. We laugh at Jim Cramer, and he deserves to be pointed at and laughed at. But it is pretty noteworthy about the state of affairs in the Republican House. And, Sarah, you also want to talk about Mike Johnson, that, like, these guys are this clownish. I mean, Gingrich was clownish in his own way. You know, but then you had Boehner and McCarthy, and there were always some clowns in there. You had King. You know, you can always find your Gohmerts. But, like, to have committee chairs that are this fucking stupid and this big of a liar.
Just one
and
they random aren't even committee good chair. At lying.
Like
up at the top of the power structure, things are going great, right, Sarah?
Well, here's my question. So before we get to Mike Johnson, here's the thing that I don't understand about the Comer-Hunter stuff is like they have amped up these voters so much to expect that they are going to nail Biden. They're going to get him. So what are they going to do now? Like, isn't there a point at which the voters expect there to be some kind of a conclusion?
Sarah, if the voters are willing to believe that Donald Trump had the election stolen from him, don't you think they're going to be willing to believe that something deep state prevented them from finding the real evidence on Biden?
I do think that's right. It does seem to me that at some point there would be a sense of, wait a minute, did they not get him? How could they not have gotten him?
I mean, I've stopped getting emails from our friends who are concerned about the Biden crime family. So, yeah. You know, some people are losing faith, I think. There's something to that, though. I mean, I wrote about this a little bit, and I've written about this before, is that, like, if you keep making all of these promises, like, you have to pay it out some way, right? And so I hear what JVL's saying. I don't, maybe not in this case in particular, they have to impeach him or something, but like the voters then begin to demand this sort of stuff, right? Like the bill comes due eventually, right? And maybe the bill comes due in the form of, you know, Republicans in primaries next year all have to promise that they are going to do extrajudicial, you know, arraignments of Joe Biden and his crime family, right?
Citizens arrests.
And that makes them seem crazy. And that hurts them in their primaries, right? Or maybe they have to, you know, like, you don't just get off scot-free. You don't just get to tell people, and we saw this with January 6th, you don't just get to tell people that the president is illegitimate, that he is running a crime ring, that he's taking Chinese money, and then the next day be like, oh, no, never mind. We have to talk about Kamala Harris's, you know, whatever, scandal.
Tim, the QAnon people promised everybody that Trump was going to win and that Hillary and everybody were going to be rounded up and sent to Guantanamo. And they, like, had specific dates of this stuff. And the guy who was basically pulling all the strings literally came out and said, maybe the real conspiracy was the friends we made along the way. and Q is still...
It's still going.
Out and proud going. Yeah. You're totally wrong. Because this is a lifestyle brand. This is just a thing they do for fun. They don't ever need to have results. They don't need the wall on the southern border. They don't need any of these things. And the reason they don't need that is because things are going well in the world. And that's why they have the luxury. It's because they're not worried about unemployment. They're not worried about, like, you know, losing their houses and stuff like that. It's precisely because things are going well. And this is what decadence is.
Then why were there 90 Benghazi hearings, and why did they vote to repeal Obamacare 112 times, right? Like, there are some consequences.
Both of these things can be true. Both of these things can be true, that there is going to be, I think, maybe some frustration from some of the talkers and the sewers of the, I think that the like, because, you know, maybe the Bannon types, there's people who've been following this and juicing up their members or their followers or their listeners could be like, boy, this is some BS and these guys failed us. Like, you could see that happening, but also, like, they will move on to the next thing. And they will, you know, are you not entertained? They will find a way to stay entertained. Can I just talk about Mike Johnson for 1 second, though?
Unlike James Comer, we've got a serious man gavel.
Neither of you have talked about how pretty I look. I was just doing television. Nobody noticed.
I thought that was sexist.
I did notice, and I just assumed you just came from TV.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You look great, though. You look great. I wanted to focus on complimenting you for your intellectual power, you know, like your takes, you know, what you brought, the value you brought to the group, but you also look great.
Thanks. Okay. I was on TV and the Mike Johnson thing was what we were talking about. And I was reminded. So what he did today was he went on out into stood at the podium and said, we're releasing all of the January 6th footage, but, you know, it's taken us a while because we got to blur out people's faces because the DOJ might prosecute them if they see their face. And we want to protect them from prosecution. And there was pretty swift blowback from this because he was saying, we're going to help them obstruct justice. Like, here's what's crazy about this to me is that they are so deep deep, deep, deep in this idea of we must protect our own. Like, we are so partisan that, like, the DOJ is not a part of the American body of the rules of law, and, like, that we might have to be on the side of actually sending people to jail who break the law because there are people. That is all just generally insane. But the thing that was craziest to me about it is that January 6th has now moved through what I need a name for the stages. Maybe one of you guys can think of the name for this, where the first stage in Republican narrative for bad thing that happened, really bad thing that our side did, is the first phase is we didn't do it, right? It was Antifa. Antifa did it.
They did it.
Somebody else did it. We didn't do it. And then the next phase is, okay, we did it, but what about? What about the Black Lives Matter protests? That was worse. And
there's a two-tier. You're wrong. The second stage is it never happened. The third stage is, okay, it happened, but this other stuff they did first. Don't you never get the critical, because that pivot, the first pivot is, oh yeah, this thing is terrible and it's all the fault of Antifa. But the next day two is, what are you talking about? It was all peaceful protests. They were just out having picnics on the South Lawn.
Maybe I did miss it, because then there's like, that means there's four stages to this. Okay, I only hit three on TV. But the last stage is the, yeah, heck yeah, we did it. And it was good and it was justified. And also, we are the victims
of the
by
deep
being
state.
Persecuted for it, right? And that is a really critical thing to understand. Like, what Mike Johnson is doing is saying to the voters and that the people who did January 6th need to be protected from the lawman, from DOJ, who is out to get them. And I find that staggering. And it is worth just us, because Mike Johnson sort of looks normal and has a normal haircut, people just think he might be a normal guy, but this guy is out of his damn mind. And they did walk back the whole thing because they immediately realized, like, oops, we are talking about obstructing justice. We can't just... But it was basically, their walk back was like this tepid, weird thing. Didn't you work with that guy? What's his name? Raj.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one walking it back.
Yeah, it'd be an understatement. Last time we talked about how we worked together, somebody said that I really underplayed it and that I was Raj's mentor. And I was I sure fucking hope not, but maybe. I don't know. Who knows? We'd have to ask
Good
Raj.
Job.
I think he denied that. Thank you, JVL.
Question.
Thank you.
So when they blurred out the images, did they only blur out the faces of the great patriots, but leave the faces of the undercover FBI agents and the Antifa agitators in? Or did they just do a broad brush and blur everybody?
This is a great question. It was painstaking. I actually wondered if this isn't just a delay tactic. Like, sorry, we haven't put out all the footage that actually does just show people attacking the Capitol because we need to take our time to blur the footage to protect you.
Yeah. I like to do sometimes just to really drive home how obscene it all is and how Republicans get graded on such a different curve, like, you know, a counterfactual. So everyone was rightfully, including myself, just enraged by the people protesting outside the deli or whatever it was in Philadelphia. Was
the
Jewish owner, the Jewish deli. Everyone was enraged about this, rightfully.
Yes.
And because it was enraging. I want you to imagine that Josh Shapiro, you know, got subpoenaed the footage from whatever, the deli's security cam, and that he was the only one with access to it. And he decided to release it. And he decided to blur the faces of the protesters outside there to protect them because he's worried that they're part of his base and he might need their vote in the next election, etc. Barry Weiss would literally have exploded in California. Like, she would not have been able to live another day. Like, she would have been right to me, but her self-brain would have exploded. I want you to go to the Free Press tomorrow and see if there's any articles about what Mike Johnson is doing. I don't think so. I don't think so. And like, there's this whole cottage industry of people out there, faux centrists or whatever, that like do this sort of thing, where like Democrats get held to this extremely high standard in these sort of situations. And Mike Johnson thing, nobody would talk. If we weren't talking about this, nobody would talk about this, right? Like, I'm so happy you brought this up, Sarah. It is absolutely crazy what they are doing. It is crazy. And because Republicans are like, we're the law and order party, rah, 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 like there is this kind of they can't get held accountable with law and order voters, you know, for the way that they're subverting the law and protecting people that may or may not have attacked police. Many police got injured. We have our, you know, Sergeant Gunnell, people with actual injuries defending the Capitol. And the whole thing is outrageous. And I think the key point to what you're saying, Sarah, besides the hypocrisy, is just that they're so deep in their own navel on this that they can't even see that.
But the key point you hit there, Tim, is that it's because the voters let them get away with it, right? If the voters were not letting them get away with it, then the rest of the media and the rest of the world wouldn't let them get away with it either, right? If Joe Biden was going to win 65-35, then everybody would be beating the crap out of Republicans 24/7. But the answer is the voters are totally fine with all of this. Now, maybe they're not fine enough to win, right? Republican voters, right? Maybe they're not fine enough to win a national election. But in terms of like, we're basically like, you know, a 45, 51 country or a 44 or 49 or whatever. And so like, how many times can the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Economist or, you know, CBS or CNN say, you know, as happens every day, this is insane. These two things aren't the same. And have the voters, like, at some point, they just, okay, we'll just, everybody says this is normal. We'll treat it as normal. Here are both sides.
I loved Liz Cheney on Nicole today. Was really spot on this, where she was like, at this point, Mike, just release everything. Okay? Like, I want people to see it. Like, yeah. I think that there was a period of time where I think rightfully, you know, the media and many of us in, like, the responsible pro-democracy circles are like, don't, like, this is irresponsible. Don't do this. We can trust the January 6th committee. We don't want the bad guys to see the corridors in the Capitol or the exit routes or whatever. And I think that was legitimate. But like at this point now that Tucker's gotten some of it and we've had some released with redacted, you know, we've blurred people's faces and given them their Antifa masks digitally. Like at this point, just show it all. Just like call their bluff. Just like, all right, Mike, let's do it. You know, let's do it. Let's show it all. Maybe you should host a viewing
for 40,000 hours.
It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of hours of footage.
All right, Tim, we got a special message from one of our sponsors. Hit it.
Okay, we have a word from our sponsors. Let me tell you, there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking. It's with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, your first, drink responsibly, looking at you, JVL, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I got to tell you, we did this read last week and was mentioning it to people. My husband was mentioning it. We went out to a concert, went out to see Sky Ferreira, met some friends. People are like, hey, we do ZBiotics. So the word's already out there. I'm telling you, I have my responsible friends here at the Bulwark, you know, people of letters, people of thoughts. I have my concert friends. The concert friends, they're all over ZBiotics. That's something for you guys to think about. Before December 14th, this holiday season, give your friends and family a gift they will actually want and use with ZBiotics. Go to ZBiotics.com/next level to get 15% off your first order when you use Next Level at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/next level and use the code NEXTLEVEL at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and for my good times.
Well, it's Wednesday.
Times. Sky Ferreira was great, by the way.
I also don't. Great. Is that like America
Ferreira?
She was
like an indie. She was like an indie pop singer in the early 2010s, like 2013 was what really her peak. And she was like 17 years old and she had a moment and then she kind of disappeared and she's back. And I just couldn't have had a better time.
Magical. There's a Republican debate tonight. You're not going to watch it. I don't know who you are.
I'm going to watch
there.
It.
I don't know. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the viewers. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do with your life. But I do know that you're not going to watch this debate. It's because it's on a cable channel called News Nation.
Oh.
News Nation, just very recently.
Is it also on Rumble?
A record. It may be on Rumble. Who can say? News Nation set a record. Their biggest day ever in total viewership. Would you like to guess their average number of viewers during the day with their biggest viewership in history?
500,000.
Oh my God, no. It would be more like 48,000.
63,000. 63,000 viewers.
That was a good guess for me if we had a Price is Right style.
That's true. And won that. So that's what Cuomo, his mom, his brother.
Is O'Reilly on that one?
O'Reilly is, I think, on there.
I don't know if O'Reilly's on. Is. Vargas, for a lot of ABC people. The point is, the RNC is going around like doing favors to a cable network instead of trying to get the cable networks to do favors for its candidates. And there's only one possible explanation for this, and it's because the RNC understands this isn't really a debate, and it's not really a campaign. No, Sarah?
There's a little bit of intrigue on this one. Nikki Haley has pulled even with DeSantis. She's pulling even in Iowa. Money's moving to her. DeSantis has had another unbelievable news cycle I don't even know if it was last week or the week before we were doing the NBC news cycle where they went to fisticuffs. But now there's like somebody lasted like 2.5 Scaramucci's and now she's gone.
The new head of Never Back Down Pack already out.
Gone. She's gone. Yeah. And then Adam, I had not realized that Adam Laxalt was also running. He's also stepped aside, which means
they were roommates, I think. I think they were like law school roommates or something.
I had forgotten that little piece of trivia. But they like the death spiral is so bad. They can't keep anybody there. So anyway, I mean, I don't know, Nikki. Pulling into a hearts, there's something there. You know, after the Coke endorsement, and if she has a big night. The other question is...
Why is the RNC hiding her on News Nation?
The News Nation thing, I don't understand.
It's also airing, Sebastian tells us, on the Megyn Kelly show. I don't know if that's a
her
streaming thing. Free Beacon is streaming it. Rumble. And the CW. It's on the CW. I bet the CW gets good ratings. What is Moesha still on?
CW?
I don't know what's on the CW. I do challenge, though, our viewers, because we should get 62,000 YouTube views on this show.
Yeah.
We crushed it last week. We had like 100,000.
Yeah, we should do this because this YouTube show should absolutely dominate News Nation and the garbage that they're putting forward. It's a cable channel geared towards teenagers. Yeah, I know. That's why I thought Moesha was maybe on it. That's what was on when I was a teen in 1872. So the thing I like about this show is that you guys always make interesting points and you're engaging even when I disagree with you. I couldn't even get to care. Like, Sarah bored me. I started falling asleep hearing Sarah try to tell me to care about this debate. Nothing against you. I'm sorry. They're losing by 45 points.
You aren't interested in whether or not DeSantis drops. Do you know that I read a report today that he has been telling people secretly that he wishes he had waited a cycle. You don't care at all?
No shit.
Yeah, great.
If only he read the triad, because I wrote that piece like 7 different times.
Yeah.
Riverdale was on the CW.
Riverdale.
Had they put this debate on like after or before Riverdale, I might have watched a little bit of it.
Is that the one where they did
Roswell
the
and Arrow were on the CW?
Yeah, it was the Archie. It was
go back
Archie.
To DeSantis. DeSantis. Stay on topic.
Fine. I'm sorry that Tim's ADD is so bored.
What is there to say? What is there to say about
the
topic?
Let me just tell you the dynamic.
Sarah, I'm interested.
DeSantis could drop out. Nikki Haley could move into a really like a pole position second. He ends up having to drop out. And then Chris Christie drops out too. The people in this debate, Christie made it, which I think is interesting. Because they're up in the degree of difficulty here in terms of making the stage. And so he made it, which I find surprising. And then Vivek. So there's Vivek, Nikki, DeSantis, and Christie. It'll be a small group. Oh, and Burgum dropped out. Did you see Burgum dropped out? Yeah. This was like when somebody dies and you're like, oh, that person was still alive. When Burgum dropped out, I was like, oh, he hadn't dropped out yet. Which also makes me wonder, is that other guy still in? Asa. Is Asa still in?
Asa's still in, I think. I'm sorry, just really quick as a point of privilege. There's no such thing as a pole position second. Okay. You can't be in the pole position for second.
Somebody's going to go one-on-one with him eventually, or like, and that's going to be at least an interesting conversation.
let me ask, why do you think somebody will go one-on-one with him? Because let's pretend that tomorrow night after the end of the debate, everybody drops out except for Haley. Donald Trump is never going to just debate Nikki Haley.
No, I know.
Like,
but there will be a two-person race, and she will get much more attention. And, you know, it'll probably be a 70-30 split. But it, I think that that is a more interesting conversation than Trump 40 points ahead, and then there's an undercard. Like, at some point, the undercard, you needed to stop.
Explain to me why this debate is interesting in a way the debate between Marianne Williamson and Dean Phillips would not be interesting.
I think it's interesting because, I don't know, I'm kind of, because Nikki Haley, let me try.
Do you think Nikki
Haley has
a meaningfully better chance of being the nominee right now than Dean Phillips?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Not the least of which.
I would agree with that.
You do? Absolutely.
Okay, I don't agree with that.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's just take your, you say this and I don't like it when you say it. And I don't think it's good. I think it's bad morally.
Sure.
But if Trump dies, which again, I am not wishing for that. But if he dies, I care who is in that second place position. I would like for Ron DeSantis. Mm. Also, there was only two things Ron DeSantis could have done that would have made me happy-ish, right? He could have beat Trump because, like I have said all along, anybody but Trump is preferable, is my preference. Okay. So he could have beaten Trump. That would be one thing. Or I need him to crater in the most embarrassing, horrible way so that he is gone from politics forever. And I want Nikki to just, I do want her to destroy him. Like, I have some skin in the game. I've also, and look, I'm just going to admit this. Nobody likes it when I say it, but internally, I'm rooting for her somewhat. I can't help it. Like, there is a part of me that...
Aren't we all?
Yeah. No, I'm not rooting for her against Trump. I'm, like, rooting for her just, yeah, in general. I mean, I'm rooting for her against Trump specifically.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm also rooting for her against these other people. Like, I'm rooting for her against Ron. I'm rooting for her against even Chris Christie. Like, did anybody see Chris Christie came out and, like, knocked her around for her abortion stance? This stuff makes me crazy. Because what is he doing? He only has one job. And if he's not going to do that job, he should get out and let her take his voters. Because that's who they'd go to. They'd go to her.
That's why I need a shirt.
What?
That's why I need a shirt.
This is what dropped out,
Christie? Because I was right about Chris Christie the whole time. Everybody got mad at me. I've been right about Chris Christie the whole time. I'm also right about Nikki Haley. That was meaningful. The best pitch you made there, I don't know how long it's been going for, but the best thing that you almost got me interested by saying, if Trump dies, then there would be a race for second, and that would be interesting, and maybe Trump will die. So that's intriguing.
Wouldn't you rather Nikki be definitely in second than DeSantis?
Sure, of course. Yeah, I guess. Would I rather it enough to spend an hour watching Megyn Kelly on News Nation with them? No, I don't. I don't want it on the CW.
That would be incredibly useful information.
I don't want it that much. I might watch a couple.
Don't forget, Tom Fitton will also be asking questions. This is a perfectly normal thing that a normal, totally, you know, respectable cable network would do. They would hire Chris Cuomo and let Tom Fitton do their debate
in the tightest shirts you've ever seen. Just all arms, that guy.
You know what? But News Nation, they're not left or right. They're just for common sense.
Common sense. Right down the middle. Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. I have one other sentence on the debate. One other sentence on the debate?
Go ahead.
Like, what is going to happen in the debate that's going to be meaningful? It's going to be different from the other debates. Like, that's it. Substantively, who cares? Like, what? It's a figure skating thing? We want Nikki to give him the old high heel to the neck? Hopefully she gives a high heel to the neck. That's what we're hoping for.
To Vivek? To who?
To DeSantis? To Sanctimonious?
Yeah, I'd like to see.
Or to Trump? I don't know. Is somebody going to attack the person that's winning? I just got an update. I do have to self-fact check here. Earlier I said Nikki Haley is losing by 45 points and maybe that she should attack Trump harder. She's actually losing by 51 points.
Where?
Yeah, I was going to say 45.
Are you looking at national
polls? Yeah, I'm looking at the national, all real right, clear well, politics, you national know. Average. She's losing by 51.
Okay, yeah, but well, it's tons of time, Tim.
I mean, I know that nobody has ever lost
in
by
politics,
50.
I'm not saying there's tons of
time. I'm sorry. Let me move to Iowa. You're right. It's really getting neck and neck in Iowa. 33. She's down by 33 in Iowa.
Yeah.
33.
I mean, Iowa always breaks late, Tim. As a can former say, operative, you know listen, that.
You guys are, you are annoying. What's annoying to me about Tim is that we are sorry, we're political observers. And like, we are, you can't, if the fact, the idea that you can't be interested in any of this stuff is stupid. Of course you can be interested in this stuff. If Nikki Haley beats DeSantis in Iowa and then he drops out, that's still fun. That's the good stuff. That's all we get before we go into the hellscape of Donald Trump versus Joe Biden and what might be 1,000 third party candidates. Oh, also, did everybody see the Washington Post today? The big headline, Liz Cheney not ruling out third party bid.
I did see that.
That's a head fake. That's
I think it's a head fake too.
I assume
but
that
I just,
so.
But yeah. I told you how much this, that she'd start her book tour and it'd just be like Liz Cheney third party on top of everybody else.
In your defense, Sarah, this is a politics podcast, so ostensibly I should care about what happens in a political debate. I just don't. And so I just am trying to be my authentic self for the listeners.
If I have to watch Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis debate and talk about it, I am going to watch the Republican primary debate.
I look forward Good to luck hearing finding your it. Take on it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This time of year, the focus is usually all about what you're giving to someone else. But the holidays are also a great time to give to yourself. Self-love is as important as any gift this season, whether it's by going a little easier on yourself during the tough moments or treating yourself to some much-needed rest. Adding therapy to your life can also be a fruitful gift to yourself this time of year, as it can serve a safe space amid all the craziness, and even serve as something to look forward to. Therapy is a great way to work through your issues. It's personally been a very positive addition to my life. Boy, can I tell you. It can help you become the best version of yourself and deal with the world around you. And if you want to give therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's completely online, and it was created to be convenient and flexible to your schedule. Just answer a brief questionnaire to be matched with a licensed therapist to start improving your mental health. In the season of giving, give yourself what you need with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/thenextlevel today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thenextlevel.
We all need some help.
Self-care. That's what I'm Boy, doing do we. On Wednesday night.
All right. Do you guys want to do like 30 seconds on Fetterman and stuff? Or can we just move right on to the Harris Youth Poll? Because I really want to give Sarah the chance to give
I,
us
I
all
I want to do 2 seconds on Fetterman and the okay. And if Go that's ahead. Okay. I was Go unhappy ahead. With one thing Fetterman did, which What's was that? He did the cameo. With what's his fucking name?
He did. So George Santos. So John Fetterman paid George Santos $347 to troll Bob Menendez for him.
Don't do that. Listener, viewers, look at me. Do not give George Santos a dime. If you think to yourself, I want to give somebody for Christmas a cute George Santos thing. No. Give it to the poor. Okay? Give it to a food bank. Do a cameo but with
George
somebody
Santos
who has integrity and who needs
watch.
Money.
Tripping on a stairs and he needs to buy a new fake watch. I mean, you know, like a man has needs.
Don't give that man a penny. So I'm mad at you about that, John Fetterman. Besides that, Fetterman's been amazing. I mean, just going on really? The View and just owning Bob Menendez.
Did you know anybody who 2 years ago, literally 2 years ago this month, was writing that Fetterman would absolutely be a senator from Pennsylvania and probably would be a top-tier presidential contender?
Somebody was.
Did
I don't
you,
remember.
Did you know anybody who did that?
He's not going to be a top-tier presidential contender. Just well, settle down on that.
Aside from the stroke, I'm telling you, in a world where he never had the stroke, he is absolutely the top of the list.
Okay.
100%.
He has exceeded all of my expectations. Although, to be fair, I wouldn't say my expectations of him were like that high, but he is, and here's the thing. I'm actually not the biggest fan of like his sort of constant shit posting style. He is at his best, honestly, when he's doing things like he's on The View and he's just showing moral clarity. Like he has shown in a world of just a whole bunch of people who like obfuscate and come up with their sidewind and ways. He is like has been as clear-eyed as anybody, and he articulates. You know, the stroke. He still talks in a way that feels straightforward and real, and that he believes it.
Amen. Yes, he doesn't seem to be scared. By the way, for good reason of the Oh, we're gonna abandon Biden. Oh, we're these far lefties, and we're gonna go along with we're gonna go along with the Muslim banner instead of Biden over all this. Like Fetterman, you might have thought that Fetterman would have been one of the ones who would have been most vulnerable to that, right? I mean, that was the more progressive side was his base. He isn't a politician that has had as much, kind of experience and kind of dealing with this sorts of stuff, but absolutely not. He has not been, and it's for good reason, because this is a tiny group of people. Hamas has like a 1% approval rating in this country. Our friends at Politico wrote about the swing state Muslim leaders who launched a campaign to abandon Biden in 2024. And then they listed the people, and these leaders is like a guy that beat his wife and another person who does most of his interviews about how he thinks we should have whipping as a form of punishment instead of jail.
What's Sharia law?
Yeah, we should have Sharia law. It's like these people.
The guy who is pro Hamas, who's objectively pro Hamas.
Yeah, that's the group.
Right. You know what? The Democratic Party doesn't want guys like that in the coalition.
So Fetterman has not like cowered at all to that group, which is, I guess, a low bar, but it is just important to say that when people are stepping over the low bar and doing it clearly, particularly since there are so few people that are doing that. And that's the only bar we've been asking for from Republicans, right? This whole time. That's all I've been asking for. I haven't asked them to go full Tim Miller, but just to be like, these crazy people outside storming the Capitol, screw these people. These people are insane. And, I love America. I love the Constitution. Joe Biden's the president. That's
so
all
we're
asking.
So this week as this happened, the Texas Republican Party held a vote over whether or not they were going to ban people, like ban its members from associating with neo-Nazis. And the vote failed. It's like the easiest layup in the history of. First of all, if you have to have a vote where you're going to like, hey, maybe we need a rule telling that our members shouldn't meet with neo-Nazis. That's a problem.
Then they can't go to Nick Fuentes's conferences.
Right.
And also, Democrats, you have got to relax. The way that Politico article flew across the internet and everybody is looking for signs that Joe Biden is just going to crater support over the Israel stuff or whatever. And people, I don't know why people are addicted to the bad news Biden things. Like, it's all terrible.
Not this guy.
Okay, that Politico story, like, I don't know how many people know that was just like four guys who are like the worst guys ever. And one of them was a literal Trump supporter. Like, stop sharing these things and like freaking out about all of them. Just calm down.
Calm down.
I mean,
and
be
also,
alarmed, but like not about this.
And also Politico.
Yeah, Politico.
Calm down. You know, like you don't need the clicks that bad. Okay. Things are going fine. You got bought by like a German industrialist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it's fine. You don't need to chase clicks anymore.
Hard
all right.
To say. All right. So we have a new poll, the Harris X Youth poll from Harvard surveying voters 18 to 30. A lot of interesting stuff in it. This is going to dovetail very nicely, Sarah, with the conversation you just had on the focus group with Peter Hamby. That was the first episode of the focus group in a long time that didn't make me want to put my head into an oven.
That's
a really
nice.
That was a really good episode. Here's the big takeaway from the poll. It's very good news for Biden. So there has been a decline in youth voter enthusiasm to vote in the 2024 election. But almost all of that decline comes from Republicans and then independents. Democratic young voters still very, very excited, and like a 2% decline, double-digit declines for independents and Republicans. And you see this even more when you break it down by college, non-college, college-educated young people, who are, again, core constituency for Democrats, still very elevated interest in voting. It's the non-college people who have seen the decline. Here's the most important thing. So they broke out Biden's lead in the youth vote by propensity to vote. So there's like everybody, then there are registered voters, and then there are likely voters. And amongst everybody, Biden is only plus 11. Among registered voters, plus 15. Among likely voters, he's plus 24. In 2020, he was plus 24 among 18 to 30-year-olds. So this is pretty good news for him. The bad news is that when you start throwing third-party candidates in there, things go sideways for Biden. So the third-party stuff is right in the Sarah, like, wheelhouse. So I would just like to put a quarter in the machine and let you go.
So I do have a little bad news I'm just going to say up front, which is that I don't like Harvard-Harris as a pollster. I don't think they're that good. You can take that for what it's worth, but they are one of my...
Is this like a personal vendetta you have? Is the Harvard-Harris pollster a lesbian that like you guys had a conflict with at a bar back in the day? Or is it like a substantive...
How do you think I spent my 20s? You wouldn't spend my... I was having like fist fights at bars in my 20s. And those people didn't go on to become pollsters. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's a particularly good poll, and I think it's not super well rated, but I have found them to be outliers often.
Okay.
So anyway, but that's neither here nor there. I want to stick to the qual side of it, which I agree. It was a good episode. Part of it was because Hamby is so good. Peter Hamby was just excellent on the show.
He was fine. It was really you that was good.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you for that.
It's always you. I show up to the focus group not for the guests, but for you. Unlike on the Sunday Next Level show where I'm there for the guests.
Well, it's funny.
The focus group, you're the star.
That's so true, though, on both points. So that's fine with me.
Okay, well, my wife and father-in-law both recently told me that they would like a lot less of me talking on the focus group podcast and just get right to the clips of the people, that they're there for the clips. So that's fine. I take that.
Hard disagree.
That's fair feedback as well, I think.
Anyway, to me, the most interesting piece, now I think you should go listen to the show, but I'm going to give you what I thought really surprised me listening to the Young Progressives, which is how focused they were on their local races. And so yes, they were down on Biden. They were really annoyed at the idea of another Trump-Biden rematch, but every single one of them was going to vote for Biden. Every single one of them was deeply alarmed by Trump, which is a thing that I have seen over and over again. It is why I am less in the bedwetting category than some of our Democratic friends. I do sort of want people to like wake up. I want Democrats to start fighting back. I want the Biden campaign to start pushing a lot harder to have more sense of urgency. However, I do think that I just see this over and over again with the groups, especially with Democrats or even swing voters, is that when push comes to shove, Trump's on the ticket, they'll vote against Trump, which is why the third party stuff is so bad, because again, you are building an anti-Trump coalition, not a pro-Biden coalition. But this piece where these young people seemed very clear, so many of them brought it up, where they were like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, obviously I'm going to vote for Biden, but like, I'm excited to vote at the local level. I think their local candidates are more diverse, tend to be younger. They feel more connected to them. They care a lot about abortion and making sure that they're having an impact in their local races and making sure that they have pro-choice candidates. And so I wonder if there's not the makings of a real reverse coattails election where actually normally it's like the presidential, the coattails go down to the local level, where Democrats actually focus hard on getting people out on local issues and that redounds to Biden's benefit.
Well, that relates to, I guess, my big observation from the Harris poll is just in the continuing changing coalitions that we have right now in the Trump era, it's like the reliable voters are people that are Democrats. It's not across the board, right? There is a reliable voter Republican side, but as a just generally speaking, Democrats are doing better with reliable, conscientious voters, right? People that turn out and want to turn out. And we see that in the numbers, right? And then when you start talking to people that are non-reliable, Trump is more appealing to them on balance. Again, now he doesn't take the lead or anything with Democrats, but just by share, right? Like a vote, Trump is more appealing with the non-reliable voters. This is true with older folks too, but I just thought it was particularly stark with this younger cohort. And I don't think that a lot of Democratic strategists and commentators really, I mean, I guess the people that are really paid for this to figure this out, but the commentators hasn't sunk in the activists, right? Like they're still in this framework from the 2000s, right? When it was true that there were a lot of Democrats that weren't turning out. There were young campus people who were smoking pot. They were, you know, younger voters of color that were disenfranchised and maybe have access and you know, for a variety of reasons. And like their whole systems were about turning these people out. It's kind of like most highly conscientious people, the ones you want to turn out, there are some Democratic voters that you want to turn out that I think are a little lukewarm on Biden. But your anecdote there that a way to do that is to get them to care about the local races just shows stereotypically, like the type of person we're talking about here, mm-hmm. which is like a conscientious person that's likely to vote, you know, that is not the case. Like, you know, Obama, Romney, right? We're just stereotyping here, but a stoner sitting on their couch at Ann Arbor deciding whether or not to vote on Tuesday, if they voted, it was probably going to be for Obama. All right. A stoner in Ann Arbor sitting on their couch who's deciding whether or not to vote is kind of a coin flip now. Right. Like it's like that has changed. Like that dynamic has changed quite a bit. And that was very stark for me. Like I kind of knew that, but just how dramatic that change was in the Harvard poll, even if it is off a little bit, it was still like super noteworthy.
So I have a question for both of you. Maybe you guys can answer. Maybe you can't. One of the reasons I haven't been able to get my head around the general election matchup numbers between Biden and Trump is because just, I don't know how to put this euphemistically, but generational turnover, right? The Trump does very well against much older voters. Biden does very well against much younger voters. It's 4 years from the last time. A lot of those Trump voters are dead. I mean, this is just, it's just fact, right? Some number of people who voted for Trump in 2016 and then 2020 are simply no longer with us. And, you know, another big chunk of the 18 to 30 has come online. I just look at it, I'm like, geez, I mean, even with all that, where are those generational turnover numbers? Why is that stuff not working its way into the poll numbers? And maybe the answer is that, like, it's because Biden is weak with, you know, so many other groups that all that generational stuff gets swamped. Or maybe not. I don't know. Do you guys have thoughts on this?
I mean, I haven't looked at what the death rates are for voters in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, and Nevada. Because that's where it's going to matter. Yes, there was more in redder areas, ultimately. But also, in the early days of the pandemic, there was a lot of, you know, disproportionate numbers of minorities who were dying from COVID.
I'm not talking about COVID stuff. I just mean, like, you know, natural causes.
I don't know.
Somebody who was 76 and voted for Trump in 2020
I'm just looking at the fact, the deaths and mortality. We're dying about 1,000 people per 100,000, just to make the math easy. That's only That's only 0.1% the country.
No, so maybe it's like 0.4%.
So it's 0.4%. You have another 0.4% coming in. We're just doing fast math here. I'm a political poly
major. Well,
that's
almost a net
major.
Swing of 1%, right?
Yeah, and I think that's getting offset. I think that's getting offset right now by Biden's weakness and with other groups.
Yeah, and the fact that a lot of the new Republicans who came in are now coming in as Republicans for Trump, right? They're coming in because they like Trump specifically, as opposed to 8 years ago, there was a bunch of Republicans who were like, well, this isn't what I wanted. And like those people have moved. So,
all right, Sarah, can I ask you one other question about from your Hamby conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think maybe the most interesting thing you guys talked about was young Republican voters and how the young Republican voters are not like just sticking with Trump, hoping to go back to like normal, moderate, good Republicanism the way like so many old Republican voters are, especially in media and conservative elite worlds. These are people who like their entire formative experience politically is Trump. And that's what they're there for.
Yes.
Like they wouldn't know what to do with a Mitt Romney or a John Boehner, and it might not even appeal to them.
Or Nikki Haley. Like when you ask people, you know, who do you like? There were only three names. It was Vivek, it was DeSantis, and it was Trump. And many of them said, like, look, I'm a Trump stan, love Trump, think he's the best. It was interesting listening, you know, the people, somebody did talk about the debt. Like there were some people who talked about policies, but like a lot of them jumped in with, well, I just believe in biology and that men are men and women are women. And they jumped to the culture stuff. And I guess when I was that age, we talked about, like, the culture stuff was it wasn't like I was doing focus groups back then, but like, we just talked about policy so much. And I'm aware that perhaps that is a selection bias, or that's the people I was around, and that perhaps it's always been a lot of people who are drawn to the Republican Party because of the culture war issues. In fact, I'm certain that that's got to be true. But I was surprised by how little policy seemed to matter to these young folks.
You were surprised by how little policy seemed to matter to Trump supporters?
I mean, I don't know. I guess you're, part of it is like you're just leaving college. And so a lot of times like you're coming to your conservatism because you've been debating with the left on campus and you think, you know, you're looking at, I don't know, you're like, you talk about issues coming out of college and as in a way that I think is different for people who are just like in their 40s.
I have a lot more on this topic, but I'm going to save for another date. I just thought that just the clips I thought were very clarifying about why the kids that were Republicans were Republicans, and the progressive kids, God love them, whew, like they had a lot of feelings.
They did.
And a lot of anxieties, and I kind of wanted to hug them and be like, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I hear you. There's a lot of bad stuff. Even if it's not going to be all right, was it going to be all right for Matt Damon and Good Will Hunting? No, you know, who knew? But Robin Williams wanted to just sort of, you know, help him get through it mentally, help him get through his trauma, his personal, we didn't have that word back then where everybody wasn't talking about their trauma, but Matt Damon had his trauma in Good Will Hunting. All these kids have their trauma, and I want to hug them. And like, then the MAGA kids were basically like, I don't really like trans people, and these people are annoying. really, everything else just kind of washes away. Like, the progressive kids had a lot of concerns about society they wanted to have fixed, and the conservative kids thought the progressive kids were annoying and didn't like trans people. Like, that was basically the gist of it.
You didn't get a sense these conservative young Republican types were reading a lot of Bill Buckley and Russell Kirk.
I didn't.
And that they had really drunk deeply from the Strauss, you know?
Yeah, nobody mentioned the road to serfdom.
That's so interesting, because I have to say that is what most of the young Republican types when I was in college were all about.
Same.
It was like reading books that were 40 years old. And but not today. Today it's just I don't like trans people and those other people are annoying. Interesting. Good to know.
Yeah, The thing about the libs that I couldn't get over was just like it's the existential angst of it all with the Dems. Like, and they do sometimes when people are just so on brand, like the girl who was just like, well, my grandmother, you know, she's old and she has some real problematic views. And Joe Biden's about her age, so I assume he has some really problematic views. Just like amazing, amazing stuff. It's funny, but mostly the kids were all right. The conservatives actually had a much more positive outlook, though. I mean, this is the thing. The conservatives are much more optimistic, whereas the Dems are just grim about the future and where we're headed.
How could the conservatives be so optimistic when we're living through American carnage? And this is, you know, everything's terrible and the
Trump's
Biden
gonna
crime
come back
family
and fix it all.
Is the worst. Well, I guess he'll come back and fix it all. Unless the deep state stops him.
It's been a long show, and so I know JVL's ready to end, but we should just leave you. We should just leave you with JVL's favorite stat from the poll. We don't need to talk about it, but we really should leave you with it. JVL, do you want to share it, or would you like me to?
I will. Sarah has said, and maybe she's right, I do not like keep my own private pollster rankings, and so it's entirely possible the Harris X Harvard Youth poll is garbage. 65% of the 18 to 30-year-olds surveyed said that their personal finances were good. 70% said that the economy is bad. Just like everyone else. Just like everyone else. I think that I've basically finally won the, like, hey, the economy is okay argument, although I'm just going to keep doing wheelies on it and spiking the football at least once a week.
Oh, you guys can decide whether he wins this. He's this weekend's focus group pod is me and JVL just listening to one young person after another talk about how impossible the economy is for. It wasn't young people. It was everybody.
It was everybody.
Great. We can wait
till
Sunday.
I called some of them. Anyway, I bring that to you, and you guys can make of it what you will. Tell me that I am wrong, and I'm just missing the deep personal pain they're feeling, or it's that they were, you know, inflation is cooled. So that now what they're really, it's mortgage interest rates. That's what's really, and when mortgage interest rates go flat or tick backwards a little bit, then it'll be pork belly futures. Have you seen the rise in pork belly futures? How can we live in a country where people
pork
are
belly
paying
pretty
for,
gross.
Inflation is not cooling. It is just not going up as quickly as it was before.
No, that is wrong. That is wrong. Inflation was flat last
month. So it's still high. So it's like not going down.
No, it's not.
Right?
It has not gone. We're not going to go down. If prices go down,
that's
then we are fucked. That is called deflation, and deflation is accompanied by economic calamity.
Stagflation. We could also have inflation if you wanted to. We could go for stagflation.
We could have all the different inflations, and but that's fine. But then don't say wage growth. Sure, but don't say like the people are still mad that they're about how expensive their groceries are. Whatever. I'm not going to redo
this.
They're making more money. We do it for an hour. We do it for an hour on the Focus Group Pod. Should check it out.
I can't wait.
I do not understand. You know, like a year ago, I had $100 and that could buy me $100 worth of goods. And today, that $100 worth of goods costs $105. And sure, I'm making $110 now, but I'm still very mad. These people are the worst. Good show. Long show.
It's been a great show, I thought. And I'm just excited. Everybody, I want everybody to really enjoy the CW tonight. Flip on Tia and Tamara. Flip on Riverdale, you know. See what the teens are watching on the CW.
Roswell. Remember Roswell?
Send me pictures of Tom Fenton's shirt. And I'm just going to hang out.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.